JC Corcoran Podcast.
NFL Hall of Famer Terry Bradshaw. Terry, what's the name of that new book again?
It's Only a Game.
Do you mind if I read a passage from it?
No, go ahead.
Okay, here
JC.
It is. Here it is, page 103. Slowly, I unbuttoned her blouse and nibbled on the tasty nectar.
No. Wait a minute.
What are you into, Bradshaw?
You don't do that. You are sick. You can't be doing that.
Get my copy
of that book out. There, same page. And when I jumped on top of my John Deere tractor and went skirting across the field, a whole flock of geese got right in my winder. Is that where you are?
I don't think so.
JC, you're sick.
All right. Terry Bradshaw.
Don't make me mad. I'll go on television. I'll just blast you guys.
It's Only a Game. Thanks, Terry.
I unbuttoned her blouse. Lord, help
when
me.
When you were a young man, though, and they were paying you a lot of money to throw
still
the football,
young.
And you know, all athletes waste money. They waste money. What's the stupidest thing you ever wasted money on back when you were just a kid?
Engagement rings. If I had all three of them back, I could buy a new horse today. And a good horse, I might add.
Terry, it seems to me like most of the athletes in the NFL these days are either born-again Christians or felons. It didn't seem like
the only time you're going to see an NFL player on a video is going to be on Cops.
Well, it wasn't like that when you played, though, was it?
Oh, I think it probably was. It just, we didn't have near the media coverage that we had. Don't forget, we had Ernie Holmes down here shooting helicopters, and we had our, problems.
Wait a minute.
The NFL had its problems. We didn't have the coverage, fellas, that they have today. I mean, today you scratch your nose and it's, you know, and you use the wrong hand and it's newsmaking.
Back up. Who was shooting helicopters?
Ernie Holmes shot at a helicopter coming down the turnpike in Ohio, right outside of Cleveland.
What did he do that for?
Well,
seemed like a good idea.
That's a question
at the time.
Everybody wanted to know.
All right, Brian.
We couldn't get the answer to that, you know, and so. Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? Yeah. Good thing he didn't hit the fella.
1976, Terry Bradshaw put out an album called I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Lonesome I Could Cry.
Can you give me a couple of bars of the big hit?
Sure.
The last word in lonesome is me.
The last word in lonesome is me. The last word in lonesome is me. My heart is as lonely as a heart can be lonely. The last word in lonesome is me.
Who yelled encore? Don't do this. Don't yell
you didn't
encore.
Think I'd do that, did you?
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu.
Friday, January 27, 2023, 19 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. How about that Terry Bradshaw stuff? That whole interview was like that. That was just three clips from that thing. And that's Brian McKenna in the background laughing and contributing to the conversation and the frivolity. Never a dull moment when you're dealing with Terry Bradshaw. All right, so again, for those of you who have been living in a cave and not paying attention to this, and you know, you're at that time of year where people start watching football who have never watched football in their lives, but they don't want to be left out, and because these games on the weekend will determine who goes into the Super Bowl, some people will start paying attention here. So anyhow, you got the 2 o'clock game in Philadelphia. By the way, on Channel 4 last night, they gave the weather forecast for the Kansas City game, but not for the game in Philadelphia. Why? Because the Kansas City game is on Channel 4, and the Philadelphia game is not. And so they only give the forecast for one of the two games. I mean, for God's sakes. Anyhow, 25 degrees at game time in Kansas City, in Philadelphia, clouds and 52. So weather should not be a big factor in any of the games. Although in Kansas City, the wind chill is going to be 12 degrees. So I guess you would say that's a factor. Oh, and I want to pick up from the story we did yesterday, because everybody saw the video, because they ran it on every television station and every tabloid show and cable news and everything about the Uber Eats guy who shows up on the basketball court the other night in the, what was it, the Loyola Duquesne game. And he shows up delivering something. He walks right across the court and they stop the game and people were like, oh, isn't that funny? Well, after the podcast yesterday, I went back and looked at that video again and I'm watching. I'm going, wait a minute. He's wearing a microphone. Why would an Uber Eats delivery guy be wearing a microphone? And then in the evening when Inside Edition came on, they spotted it too. And, you know, they drew the same conclusion, because yesterday when I did it, it was like, well, why do I have this feeling this is not on the up and up? There's no way an Uber Eats guy shows up on a basketball court and interrupts a game. This has got to be something. Somebody's recording this. Somebody, you know, with a YouTube channel or something. And that appears to be the case. So we'll see how the whole thing shakes out. The smoke that you will be smelling across the middle of America beginning tonight is going to be the city of Memphis on fire. I mean, all kidding aside, this is a terrible, terrible story. The people who have already seen the video, and by the time you listen to this podcast, it's possible that you will have seen it already too, because this is going to be released at, I think they said 6 o'clock tonight, probably 5 o'clock St. Louis time. And they're going to release the video, and we're all going to be able to see this. And from everybody's account, from everybody who has seen this so far, people are just like, if you thought the Rodney King thing was something, wait till you see this. Apparently, this is, you know, pretty much unprecedented, at least in terms of something that was caught on tape. I'm sure this stuff happens all the time, but the fact that somebody recorded it, and I think it was just two security cameras. Apparently, I think they said they got two different angles on this, and it becomes pretty clear what happened here. So this is just an awful, awful story, and almost like, even though the beating did not result in him dying instantly, he died 3 days later in the hospital. I don't know how much of this I want to see. I'll tell you, one of the biggest mistakes I made was last summer, the Buffalo shooting. And you'll recall the kid who shot up the supermarket in Buffalo live streamed it. He live streamed it. And I was going through, I got a couple of websites I look at once in a while that are, I wouldn't call them dark web, but they're sort of getting there. And I'm just scrolling through, watching stuff. And then it comes up on that. And it was from the perspective of the shooter. And I'm really, really sorry that I watched it, especially the very first shooting. Because the guy gets out of his car and there's a woman just walking out of the supermarket, walking to her car with a bag of groceries, and he just shoots her point blank, and that's not something you need to see. And I'm, like I said, I watched it, and I'm sorry I did. So I don't know how much of this thing I'm going to watch tonight. I mean, I want to watch enough of it to know what happened, but maybe that's it. This next story I would call a dichotomy. The other day, I'm driving down the street, down the highway, and a woman is driving like an asshole, and I'm just starting to drive along, and I come up beside her, and I notice she's got one of those license plates that says, choose life, and then she's got an anti-abortion bumper sticker on her car, too, and as I come up in the car next to her, she's got a cigarette between her fingers hanging out of the window. I guess it depends on your perspective, huh? All right, a couple of momentous occasions of dubious nature for yours truly. It was on this date back in 1984 that I was doing a radio show in Buffalo, New York, and not getting along with the management. The mayor was mad at me. The McDonald's people were mad at me because it was right about the time that Ray Kroc died. Ray Kroc was he was actually a milk milkshake machine salesman out of Chicago. And he would sell milkshake makers to various restaurants all over the country. And the McDonald brothers back in the 1950s are buying milkshake machines like crazy. And Ray Kroc is like, what are you doing with all these machines? I've never sold this many machines to anybody. I got to see what's going on. So he gets on a plane and flies to Southern California, gets out of the car, goes to McDonald's, and starts looking around. And like, Jesus, look at this place. He ended up buying the company. And Ray Kroc was the guy who ran and controlled the company for decades until his death back on this, I think it was this week, back in 1984. And we, at the time, on the morning show in Buffalo, not really caring what we said or what we did because we were like 30. We were talking about the McFuneral and the McWake and how Mayor McCheese was going to be one of the pallbearers. I mean, just really stupid, infantile, immature, sick jokes. So McDonald's didn't like me. The mayor didn't like me. And true story, true story. I finish the show and I go to the urinal in the men's room and I'm standing there peeing, which is what you do at a urinal. And the general manager of the station comes up behind me and said, that's going to be it, JC. That's going to be it. You're fired. And what I should have done is wheeled around and like, what? Which meant I would have pissed all over his leg, over his pants leg. But I didn't. Fired in the men's room. True story. Rolling Stones concert in St. Louis on this date in 2006. You may have been there. Speaking of Buffalo, back in 1984, right after I got fired, I went home and the snow started. And it didn't stop until like a day and a half later, and I found myself buried in 31.4 inches of snow. That'll get your attention. 31.4 inches of snow. It took like a week before we could drive. And remarkably, back in 1967, it was the Chicago blizzard, and that was 23 inches, and that shut down the entire city of Chicago for the better part of a week. It was on this day back in 1993 that I was in New York interviewing Andy Rooney. And you know what? He turned out to be a really, really nice guy. I went in there thinking to myself, oh, Jesus. And he went in there and, you know, it's not like he didn't have some of his gruffy personality on display. But for the most part, he was like this really sweet guy. We finished the interview and he said, come on, let me show you around a little bit. And he's taking me around the offices of 60 Minutes. And I saw Morley Safer and Steve Croft ended up interviewing him a little bit later on. So it was very, very interesting. And one of my favorite stories back on this date, 1985, is a very famous picture of me with the Steam Heat Dancers. I had been doing an appearance somewhere. I want to say it was an exercise place or something. And the Steam Heat Dancers showed up in full regalia, full hair and makeup. And we had a group shot taken. And it was that photograph that helped defend me in the lawsuit that the guy who runs the Steam Heat Dancers filed against me when I claimed to have had sex with a half a dozen of them, I believe I said. So they sue me, and I show up with a picture in court, and I start. And this is before it actually got to the trial, because it never made it to trial. It got thrown out of court. But I was able to identify the ladies in the picture with whom I did exchange bodily fluids with. They thought that I was just saying it as a scurrilous, scandalous, poor taste joke. And I was like, no, this one and this one. And they looked at me like, you're claiming that you actually did have sex with these girls? I was like, yeah, I did. Ask them. They weren't expecting that. They weren't expecting that. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the space shuttle exploding back in 1986. And another blizzard. Holy crap. Look at 1978. We were stranded at the radio station in Fort Wayne for 3 days. They finally showed up with snowmobiles and took three of us to my apartment because it was the closest apartment to the radio station. But, you know, we had broken into every imaginable place in the radio station that had food. We were basically living off candy bars from the vending machine. And the radio station there was sort of, you know, off in the country a little bit. And there was only one house that you could see from the radio station. And the people at that house actually trudged through the snow. And I want to say that was something like 27 inches. And they brought us soup. And if we didn't have that soup, I don't know, we would have just withered away. You know, because not only are you stuck at the radio station without food, you have to work. Because there's nobody else there. You got to keep the radio station on the air. That was before the computers and all the stuff that they have now where you can just push a button and go on vacation and the radio station will just play without anybody there. But back in 1978, if there was nobody there to actually play the songs and talk into the microphones, that was it. There was no radio station. So it was like adding insult to injury. But they brought us the soup. But yeah, on the third day, they showed up with snowmobiles and took us all to my apartment where we could actually shower and, you know, have a can of soup or something. But that was not exactly fun. I departed for Switzerland on this day back in 1994. My ex-wife was the assistant vice chancellor at Washington University, and they would have these trips that they would take for major donors to the university. These filthy rich people would donate like $1 million, and they'd say, okay, well, we're having this junket. We're going to take you to Switzerland. So I got to piggyback on that. And on Sunday, in 1988, I was in New York interviewing John Hughes, Elizabeth McGovern, Kevin Bacon, all those people from the movie She's Having a Baby. I like that movie. I like that movie a lot. I don't think it got enough credit for being a very, very entertaining film, but I got to interview John Hughes, and that was interesting. He was one of those guys, he was a runner, you know, he was living in New York. This was, 20 years ago? And he was 59 years old, goes out for a jog, and drops dead. It's amazing how many stories are like that. Somebody who appeared to be health conscious and in an effort to remain healthy ends up dropping dead. I'll take my chances eating pizza. All right, since the football games don't start until mid-afternoon on Sunday, you might be looking for something else to watch. Starting today on Apple TV, the series premiere of Shrinking, a comedy starring Jason Segel as a therapist who deals with his own grief by telling his patients exactly what he thinks. Harrison Ford plays his disapproving mentor. On Netflix starting today, something called You People. This is Jonah Hill and Lauren London as a couple. Her parents are played by Eddie Murphy and Nia Long. His parents are David Duchovny and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It's called You People. Saturday Night Live, Michael B. Jordan is hosting. Claire Danes on with Jimmy Fallon tonight. Jimmy Kimmel's got Jennifer Lopez. A woman was arrested for her 12th violation of a restraining order that Kelly Clarkson has against her. Sharon Stone, let me tell this story in reverse. So Steven Seagal, back in 1988, this is before he was famous. His first big movie was just coming out. And so he was touring the country trying to get people to know who he was and to see his movie. So again, you have to put this in the mind of somebody being, we were mispronouncing his name. We were calling him Steven Seagal because that's how it looked. And he wasn't famous yet. And finally, one of his reps pulled me aside and said, it's Steven Seagal. I'm like, oh, okay, fine. So we made that correction. Steven Seagal comes back to the TV station with me over at Channel 5. Nobody knows who he is because he's not famous yet. And we're sitting there talking, and this guy's really got an attitude, a real attitude. But he likes me and actually says to me, you know, if you lived in California, you and I would hang out. That's what he said to me. And I'm thinking to myself, no, we might not, actually, but I was thinking that. So Sharon Stone was in a movie with Steven Seagal, and I asked him what was she like, and he used the C word to describe her. And there were lots of other people who described her that way, too, as her career went on and on. And she's been in some good movies. It wasn't just Basic Instinct. What was that movie with Ryan O'Neal and Shelley Long and Drew Barrymore about the little girl who divorces her parents? Oh, Irreconcilable Differences. Irreconcilable Differences. Pretty damn good movie for its time, which was, I guess, what, early 80s? And she was really good in that. So anyhow, directors would hire Sharon Stone for a movie, and then the other actors would show up thinking to themselves, okay, here we go, which is the way I get treated a lot, where I show up someplace I've never been before or start in a new radio station because so much scurrilous stuff has been written about me. And it's like, you got to convince people that you're not an asshole. And I'm not. I treat people very well. I'm nice to everybody. I'm nice to you until you give me some reason not to be, okay? So that seems fair to me. Anyhow, Sharon Stone has worked with her share of misogynistic men, but she says Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci were not among them. Simpsons been renewed now through 2025, which means it'll surpass 800 episodes. Jay Leno's Garage has been canceled, ending Jay's 30-year run of having a show on the NBC Universal channel, unless somebody gives him another show. Mick Jagger, we were just talking about the fact that the Stones played in St. Louis on this date back in 2006. Mick Jagger just came out with his own line of harmonicas, which is interesting because I'm not sure I ever, does he even play harmonica? I gotta go back and look that up because I'm trying to remember, not a lot of Rolling Stone songs that even have a harmonica. Something's wrong with that story. Rick Astley suing rapper Young Gravy for using Rick Astley impersonators on his track, Betty Get Money. And after the Eagles' home playoff win against the Giants last weekend, Eagles defensive back C.J. Gardner-Johnson walked out of Lincoln Financial Field to find that his car had been stolen. Stay classy, Philadelphia. All right, birthdays today. The star of Gone Girl, Rosamund Pike, 44. Patton Oswalt, funny guy, 54. See a movie called Big Fan. Big Fan. Patton Oswalt plays, well, I don't want to tell you too much. It's a football thing, and he's a big loser, but he's also a big fan. And if I'm not mistaken, he may have gotten an Oscar nomination for that. Anyhow, he's 54 today. Bridget Fonda, who has really let herself go, 59. Keith Olbermann, who I just found out the other day had dated Katie Turr from MSNBC back before she got married to Tony DeCoppola from CBS News. Keith Olbermann, 64 today. Mimi Rogers, the first Mrs. Tom Cruise, 67. John Roberts, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. You remember the day that they made the announcement, right?
This is a CBS News special report. Good day, John Roberts. President Bush is about to make his announcement of John Roberts. Until then, John Roberts, CBS News in New York. Good day.
That was a lot of John Roberts, wasn't it? Birthdays tomorrow. Ariel Winter from Modern Family, 25. Sarah McLachlan, 55. Barbie Benton says here, gorgeous hee-haw star on the arm of Hugh Hefner for many, many decades, 73. Mikhail Baryshnikov, legendary ballet dancer, 75. Alan Alda, 87. Sunday, Adam Lambert turns 41. Sarah Gilbert from Roseanne and The Talk, 48. Heather Graham, Felicity Shagwell from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, by the way, 53. Paul Ryan, also from Wisconsin, former Speaker of the House, 53. Edward Burns from the Brothers McMullen, 55. Greg Louganis, Olympic gold medalist, 63, with a big bump on his head. Earlene Mandrell. Believe it or not, we had her on the show once. She was across the hall on the other side of the building when we were at KSD and KUSA, the country station, with Frank Opinion was on the other side of the building, and she was over there. And so we saw her, like, go ahead, pull her in the studio. And she didn't realize we were making fun of her, but she was there for some charity thing, and she kept talking about this flapjack breakfast. 67 today. Oprah is 69. Tom Selleck, he wants your house. He's 78. And Catherine Ross from The Graduate is 83. Oh, what was this other thing here? Oh, this was the date in 1984 that Michael Jackson's hair caught on fire while he was filming a Pepsi commercial. Andre the Giant died at the age of 46 on this date in 93. The iPad was unveiled by Steve Jobs at a press conference in San Francisco 13 years ago today in 2010. And 5 years ago today, 2018, Huey Lewis abruptly lost his hearing while getting ready to perform in Dallas. He was later diagnosed with Meniere's disease. New research says the number one dream job around the world is pilot. Pilot. It's followed by writer, dancer, YouTuber, entrepreneur at 5, actor, influencer, programmer, singer, teacher at 10, DJ at 11. Yeah, that's what you think. Blogger, doctor, professor, flight attendant at 15, firefighter, judge, lawyer, attorney, psychologist at 20. In China, by the way, the dream job is dietitian. In South Korea, police officer. In Egypt, it's football coach. We're not talking about the Rams, we're talking about soccer. In Brazil, it's businessman. And in Mexico, it's YouTuber. In Mexico, there's a new list of the dirtiest cities in America. And for once, Missouri didn't make it, thank God. They're talking about pollution, living conditions, infrastructure. Number one dirty place, happy to say that I lived there for about a year and a half, Houston, Texas. Newark, New Jersey, and San Bernardino, California round out the top three. Financebuzz.com, looking to hire a couple. They're going to pay you $1,000, give you an additional $1,000 IKEA gift card, and all you have to do is put together an IKEA bedroom set and document the ups and downs. It's like Tim Allen says, do you ever put something together and you're all done, and then you stand there and you look over and there's a bag of real important-looking parts still laying on the floor? That's how I feel about that IKEA stuff. What could these dowels have to do with anything? No, honey, you go try the bed first. A homeowner in the United Kingdom furious because some workers came to deliver a sofa, but they got it stuck in his stairway, and then they left. They said there was nothing they could do, and they didn't have time to dislodge it. Somebody's going to get a negative review. All right, it's Friday, so we like to do some of the science news, nerdy news, if you like. There's a study out of the University of Michigan that found that chimpanzees are more patient and less impulsive than human teenagers. Duh. A study in China found the Earth's inner core may have stopped rotating and might be spinning in the other direction. There's no evidence that affects us at all. It's over 3,000 miles below the surface. They think the switch happened in 2009. Also, it happened in the 1970s. It could happen again in about 20 years. NASA has unveiled plans to test nuclear-powered rockets that would fly astronauts to Mars in ultra-fast time. It would be a safer method for astronauts to travel, but it's a long ways off. They said it could be developed as soon as 2027, which is fine because we're not even ready for going to Mars yet. What time is it on the moon? That's a question that scientists are going to have to figure out if we're ever going to set up a permanent base there. It's like Vegas. There's no clocks. Researchers at the University of California, San Diego say a new wearable stamp-sized heart monitor could use ultrasound technology to observe the heart on the go. It could provide doctors with images as people go about their day, and it even works during strenuous exercise. Wait a minute! We won't even be able to put robots in jail? Researchers have created humanoid miniature robots that can shapeshift to turn into liquid. And for some reason, they demonstrated this with a video showing a robot changing forms to escape a cell door. Will somebody please stop with the fucking robots already? They're already going to take our jobs as it is. And now if one of them goes berserk, you can't even confine them. Just stop with the robots already. And somebody stole a gorilla statue from a store in Maryland. Gosh, if there was only some sort of glue that could keep it in place. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Friday, January 27, 2023 is in the can. 19 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. We're here every weekday morning right about this time at jcontheline.com. You can email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Follow me on Facebook, the Showgram with JC Corcoran, and please spread the word that we are here doing this every weekday morning. And we're going to have some news about the new radio station, hopefully as early as next week. It's coming. It's real close now. It's real close. So we will fill you in. Have a great weekend. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.